great, and I'm on my way, way up, way up, way up. It's never too late, and I'm on my way.
I'ma leave my mark, ready, set, go. Ready, set, go. Ready, set, go.
With so much negativity being yielded at the youth of our nation, it seems hard to find any signs of a bright future. Coming from a legendary past, the new generation of Bahamians seek to take this nation to heights it's never seen. That's where the youth perspective comes in. We seek to display tomorrow's leaders in every facet of society. Each show will focus on today's pace setters, trendsetters, movers and shakers, and the next generation of great, impactful Bahamians. We seek to uplift, motivate, and encourage our listeners. Tune in as we address issues of importance with wisdom and intelligence, all from the youth perspective.
And we're back. Welcome to another edition of The Youth Perspective with yours truly, Kashrina Jamal. Always great to be in the company, ladies and gentlemen. And we come your way each and every Saturday evening right here on 1540 AM, 104.5 FM, the national voice of the Bahamas. Inspiration, 107.9 FM, where it's all gospel all the time. And 810 AM, The Light in Grand Bahama. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for locking it in. And we're getting ready, and we're set for an extremely exciting show, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're listening in, we thank you so much. Don't forget, wherever you're listening to us, you can use the hashtag pound the youth perspective. Let us know that you're tuned in and you're enjoying it. So we definitely want to thank the scores of persons who send in their wonderful kudos to the guests and the information that is shared. We thank you so much for being a part of it. And this show is another great show because we get to share more information. And of course, the last few episodes you've heard, we've been talking about different topics. And tonight we're going to talk about the importance of breastfeeding. All right. And so what better way to do so than to have the dynamic Dr. Blair Woodside. She's going to join us tonight, and we're going to have a great conversation. So I want you to get a little closer to the radio, little closer. A little bit more. When you lean all the way in, so Dr. Woodside can walk us through this wonderful journey in breastfeeding. Good evening, Dr. Woodside. How are you doing?
Good evening. I'm well. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing well. It's so great to have you on the You Perspective. Your first time, but I don't believe it's going to be your last at all.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Definitely, definitely. And so before we get into our topic for this evening, it's focusing on breastfeeding, give the listening audience a little bit of information about yourself so we could be a little bit more familiar with Dr. Woodside.
Oh, okay, so my name is Dr. Blair Woodside. I work for the Pan American Health Organization. I'm a technical advisor. I'm also a medical doctor, so and a new mom. So okay. I have some experience myself with this topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on being a new mom as well. How long has it been?
Well, he actually turned one last Saturday.
Oh,
so
wow! Yeah. Okay, smash cake and everything.
One beautiful year.
I love it. I love it. And so shout out to all the new moms as we continue to celebrate mothers each and every day. And so this topic is right up the alley of you ladies listening in this evening. And so let's get started as we talk about the importance of breastfeeding. Some persons think it's important. Some persons don't think it's important. Or, you know, some persons, they might not have gotten the opportunity to breastfeed for, you know, a myriad of different reasons. But tell us this evening, why is breastfeeding important?
So breast milk is the ideal food for infants. It contains all the antibodies, which would help the child against many childhood illnesses. So it provides all the energy, all the nutrients the infant needs in the first few months of life. And then it continues to provide about half the child's nutritional needs during the second half of their first year and up to one third during their second year of life. And not only is breastfeeding important for the child, but also important for the mother. So a mother that breastfeeds will have a lower risk of breast cancer, lose weight, they'll feel more relaxed. And then there's also that bonding between the child and the mother. So not just nutritional importance, but also social, emotional importance between the mother and the child.
So very important. And, you know, a lot of persons, you know, kind of look at breast milk and they're not sure, like, what is breast milk actually made up of? Like, what is it actually?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, it has antibodies, but about over 70% of it is really water. And then you have proteins, you have carbohydrates, you have various fats, vitamins and minerals. You have some other immune cells and actually different strains of bacteria and hormones. So the breast milk is filled with nutrients. This is everything the baby needs. And you can imagine that it's made specifically for the baby. So the amounts of each one of these different nutrients matter to the baby's growth.
And, you know, it's very interesting as women go through their months of pregnancy. It's very interesting to find out when does the milk production actually begin in a woman's body?
Yeah, so actually the milk production itself takes a few days after you have the baby, which we call postpartum. It takes a few days for the milk to actually develop. So immediately after delivery, what the mother actually produces is called colostrum. And that is what's very rich in antibodies. And that helps the baby's digestive system to develop. And obviously antibodies will help them to fight against different illnesses as well in those first few days. But by starting this very small amount of colostrum, the baby also gets some time to coordinate the sucking and the swallowing and breathing at the same time. You could imagine you just came into the world and now you have to put in all this work to eat and to survive. So
yeah.
That coordination process happens in those first few days, those first few moments after delivery, when you put the baby on the breast and the baby's just trying to figure out, okay, what am I doing? How do I eat? Because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I'm in the world now. I need to eat. I need to survive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's also bonding, right? Bonding experience.
Yeah, exactly. Mother.
Yeah, I remember. Exactly. I remember a little something from when, you know, my wife, you know, we had our son. So,
oh, that's good. Yeah, and it's so important. When you have a baby, I mean, I have my baby late at night, but the nurses made sure that they brought him to me and put him on my chest and had that skin to skin contact.
Right.
All those things help your body to produce the milk as well. There are different hormones that go through you and you say, okay, I'm ready. Now it's time. So yeah, from the moment you deliver, it's beginning.
Yeah.
The whole process is beginning.
Mm-hmm. Go time, go time.
Yeah, it's go time.
And, for a lot of women, and this is something, I guess, you know, as you go through your journey, you kind of figure out this. But for new mothers and persons just interested in this information, how do you know if you're producing enough milk?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. Most moms will make enough milk.
Okay.
And so the second their breast starts to feel that tenderness, it's almost like it's clockwork. For some reason it works. Like, you know, your breast starts to tingle, he starts to get hungry or she starts to get hungry, and it kind of coordinates itself. However, if you want to really, you know, say keep track of it, to say, how do you monitor whether or not the baby is getting fed enough, you can monitor the diapers. So how many wet diapers and how many soiled diapers. And usually they go through about 5 to 6 diapers a day.
Wow.
Once the mummy's milk is fully going through. Also, what's very important is the baby's weight. So you should be taking your baby to the pediatrician to ensure that the weight is going along the right trajectory throughout the baby's growth throughout especially that first year. Going those pediatrician visits are very important.
Crucial. Yeah, definitely. And a lot of persons, you know, I remember, you know, when you in the preparation to you know, have your baby, and you know, persons will tell you, make sure you get a lot of sleep, you know, because you're gonna wish you're gonna wish that you had the opportunity to sleep as much as you did, and that goes along with, you know, the baby being hungry, particularly maybe what in the first couple of months, maybe you know on this kind of schedule per se of the feeding times, and so how
it's almost nonstop.
Right, it's almost nonstop. And so how does one know if the baby is actually hungry or if they're sleepy or if it's gas? Like, how do you, you know, tell the difference between all the different crying sounds?
Yeah. So, I mean, there are some things in the literature that say there's certain types of cries. But you get in tuned with your baby, even as the father or as a guardian that's there regularly, you'll start to recognize patterns within that first week. Actually, even the first days or so, you recognize, okay, baby is getting hungry every 3 hours or every 2 hours. We would normally say that babies eat at least 8 to 12 times a day during that 24-hour period, but you should really just stay in tune to the baby. Don't watch the clock, watch the baby. So there are cues. There are cues that your baby will give you. Maybe they'll put their nose to your breast or start reaching. Again, certain people believe there are different types of cries that they have. But you'll recognize the cues even before the crying starts. And once you get the baby calm and say maybe you need to change the diaper before you feed, you may do a few other things before you realize. But once the baby's calm and you bring the baby towards your breast, once you'll realize that, okay, they're reaching, they're putting their face, they're starting to do a sucking motion with their lips and their mouths. Mm-hmm. And you just stay in tune, you pay attention, and that awareness almost comes naturally, again, not just for the mother, but for people who are also around, whether that be the father or the guardian, who's also helping to raise that child.
Yeah, and it's so true, as you speak about that level of awareness, the level of concern, you know, paying attention to breathing and crying and, you know, different things. And I just remember, like, if you're around I want to say this in a way, it's not, you know, the older generation, you know, I want to say, you know, they know, I don't know how they know, but they can hear, and they're like, oh no, you need to feed the baby now. Or like, did you smell that? Like, I didn't smell anything. How did you smell that? You know, so like, they know. And it's so interesting, you know, when you're around babies and persons who have traveled that road before you. And so, as we continue this talk, and we're kind of getting to the end of our conversation, but we have a few more questions that we want to dive into. If you're listening in, we're talking to Dr. Blair Woodside. We're talking about the importance of breastfeeding, and we're going to dive into a little bit more before we wrap the show. Now, to go hand in hand was, you know, when you will know if the baby's hungry. Let's talk about how long should you be breastfeeding. You know, sometimes I know that there may be shorter occasions, you know, the baby might just need like a little top up, you know, and not necessarily like a long session, you know. And so how do persons know, okay, when it's time for a little bit of a longer, extensive time of breastfeeding and maybe just a little, you know, a little shorter one?
Okay. So, the breastfeeding sessions themselves, mm-hmm. The baby will let you know.
Yeah.
If the baby's still sucking and they're still eating, then you keep going. If the baby stops, then you stop. Yeah. But sometimes you're still full and mm-hmm. you just need to pump and get that out. You know, that's really important that you don't leave any milk. So longer sessions, fine, great. That means you're getting it all out there. Awesome. But the shorter ones are the ones you need to really pay attention to, because what you don't want is to not express all of the milk. Mm. And then you end up with an engorged breast clogged ducts. Mm. Or worst case scenario, mastitis is where you get an infection in those ducts, or inflammation and pain. And that's not a good that's not a good thing. You can't, you'll have to stop breastfeeding for a short period of time if you're on medication or anything for it.
Yeah.
But the baby will let you know. Mm-hmm. Once they're done eating, they will naturally release that sucking, that vacuum. Mm. And then that session is over with. And again, mm-hmm. express anything else that's left in there. Mm-hmm. The breastfeeding in general should go on, like I was mentioning earlier, at least for about 6 months. For that first half of the first year, mm-hmm. it should be exclusively breast milk. Mm-hmm. And that's very important because all of the nutrients, like I mentioned, are there in that breast milk for those first 6 months. And then you can start introducing more solid foods after 6 months with the breast milk. Mm-hmm. And that's recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics and the World Health Organization. Mm-hmm. You do it as long as you can. Honestly, it's really good for the baby and really good for you.
And so question, does the breast milk, does the production ever stop, I guess, per se?
Yes.
It does mm-hmm. stop. Okay. It does stop.
It definitely does. It definitely mm-hmm. does. And for some women, that happens at different times for some women. Mm-hmm. Some women can actually stop breastfeeding and start again. Some people have delayed breastfeeding, so they're not, they may not have been producing, and then they gave up, and then they tried again and started producing again. It all varies, but yes, once you stop for a certain period of time, breast milk will stop coming, will stop producing.
Interesting. And does it happen when, I guess, the body realizes that there is a fetus, maybe? Is that the correct term? Is there a fetus in the body? And so it will kind of start making what's needed for breast milk, if I'm saying the correct.
Yeah, so term. I guess I understand what you're saying. So, the body, during pregnancy, especially in those last few weeks, your body is getting ready to provide for that baby.
Okay.
Your uterus and your brain and everything is connected, obviously, mm-hmm. Particularly through hormones. Mm-hmm. And so your body will know when the baby is in your body versus when the baby is out. Mm. Your body will know when the baby is sucking versus when the baby is not. Mm-hmm. Different hormones, different actions, certain things will trigger certain hormones to trigger other things within your body to let you know, okay, this is what I should be doing. I should be producing milk. I should be putting this much nutrients in this milk. It all happens involuntarily without us doing anything, honestly. Yes, the body knows exactly when the fetus is in, mm-hmm. knows when the baby is born, mm-hmm. and knows when the baby is sucking. All of those things happen without us saying, hey, do this and do that.
Wow.
It happens naturally.
Yeah, it's truly, truly marvelous, the working of a woman's body. The intricacies is amazing. Before we get your closing comments, we do want to get one more question in here, particularly for women. They're getting closer to that stage now of having to go into work and be able to navigate breastfeeding and in a working environment. How do they navigate this this balance of work and breastfeeding?
Yeah, so it's tough. It's mm-hmm. tough to have to go back to work, even just emotionally. You want to be with your baby. But particularly when it comes to breast milk, you're still going to be producing. Again, you're on sort of like a clock. Mm-hmm. Your body is used to feeding at certain times, and so you will still be producing breast milk. And so it's important to communicate to the people that you work with. And most working environments are supportive. Mm-hmm. They will find a way to make it work. And it's important, like I was mentioning earlier, to express that milk, not to just leave it there and let it sit. It will engorge. It will start getting painful. So you have to express that milk. If you can communicate with your supervisors or your seniors, whoever is there that can facilitate you to have a private room or a space that you can use a pump to store that milk, store it in the fridge. Ideally not in a bathroom. Bathrooms have a lot of germs, a lot of in and out. So if you can have a space where you can do your breast pump, save your milk, put it somewhere in storage, whether you bring a little cooler or something like that. But it's about communication. This is a very important time for, again, not just your baby, but for you. And it's ideal for you to feel relaxed and feel supported and feel encouraged during that time. And the way that that can happen is through communication. So communicate, get a good breast pump, get some breast, the breast milk bags that you can store. Ensure that there is a place for you to store the breast milk, because you don't have to discard it. You can use it later on. And maybe even find other support systems outside of the workplace, other moms, Facebook groups, things like that. People have been doing these things for decades. Working women isn't a new thing. So communicate and find a good support system to ensure that you feel encouraged. The important thing is that the baby is fed and that you are as calm and relaxed and encouraged during this time as possible.
And I think you would find that some women, they have an excess supply. And so they may, you know, offer it up to, you know, persons who may need, you know, a little bit extra. Because like you said, they have to release that that breast milk. And so sometimes they might end up with extra. And so.
And sometimes and we don't talk about it as much as we should, but sometimes it's tough. Some women do not express as much milk as others. Some women don't express at all the way that they could or should, or maybe they find it too difficult, or maybe they have to go back to work, like you mentioned, a myriad of reasons why they're not able to do what they can to provide that the amount of milk that the baby needs. So there are support systems, there are women out there that express a lot and they are willing to share, and it shouldn't be taboo to share it. Just support one another. Support one another. We all have different experiences, and it's so encouraging and fruitful to share those experiences and be able to lift one another up during that time, because it's a very challenging time, no matter how much support you have.
Yes, definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been quite a rewarding show. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed it and I learned a whole lot, ladies and gentlemen. Before we let Dr. Blair go, is there any way that persons want to ask you more questions outside of the questions that we have addressed in this episode? Can they reach out to you? Can they reach out to PAHO? Is there any way?
Yes, please. The PAHO Country Office is available. We are open. Just give us a call and you can definitely ask for me directly. We have other technical officers there that can help with other things as well that you may have other questions for. But yes, feel free to reach out to the Pan American Health Organization Country Office. We are right off of Shirley Street. And so we are open and willing and available to all of you. We would love to hear feedback and, again, address any concerns or questions you may have.
Yeah, they're just down the street from where we are recording right now. It's at NASA. So
yeah.
I can walk there on a much cooler day.
Yes, much cooler day in December.
Yes. I love it. And so before we get ready to wrap up, we want to get your closing comments, your take home message, anything that the listening audience should know or anything that you want to note before we wrap up the show.
Yeah, again, the most important thing is the most important goal is for the baby to be fed. You know, we want new moms to feel that they have the tools and the resources they need to feed their baby and also enjoy the process, too, because it's a beautiful time. So all the best. Just really good luck.
Definitely, definitely. And so, like I said, we got to bring you back, you know, another time and have more conversations because it's important.
I would love that.
Yeah, it's important that we spread this wonderful news and then just share the importance, because sometimes persons are not aware of the beneficial nature of breastfeeding and breast milk and the possibilities that can come from doing so. And so we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Dr. Blair Woodside, ladies and gentlemen, joined us this evening as we talked about the importance of breastfeeding and, of course, that wonderful, wonderful thing. And I asked some questions that I just wanted to know just from my own informational standpoint. But we thank you so much, Dr. Woodside, for joining us. And we look forward to doing this again real soon.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for locking it in to The Youth Perspective. Yours truly, Cashing and Jamal. And we'll do this again next week, Saturday, all over again, ladies and gentlemen. And we've been bringing you these wonderful conversations. We thank Paho so much for allowing us to have some of their wonderful persons in who work all over the world sharing different informations about Paho and the UN and the WHO. And they have taken the time and seeing fit to come on A Youth Perspective, and we thank them so much that we are able to work as a conduit to be able to share these information and, of course, this wonderful tidbits of noted information. And so we thank you so much for listening in. Thank you so much to our family over there in the family of islands. We appreciate you tuning in, those here in the capital, those here in Grand Bahama. We appreciate you and thank you so much, and we look forward to doing this again next week, Saturday. Yours truly, Cashkin Jamal, with The Youth Perspective, where we shine the light on the youth of our nation. Have a great evening, and we'll see you again next week, Saturday. We'll do it all over again. Good evening, everyone.
I'm trying to be great, and I'm on my way. Way up, way up, way up. It's never too late, and I'm on my way.
I'ma leave my mark, ready, set, go. Ready, set, go. Ready, set, go.
I hope you enjoyed another edition of The Youth Perspective. Stay tuned for more interviews, more in-depth conversation, great music, as we seek to encourage, empower, impact, and uplift our youth of this nation. Here on The Youth Perspective, we'll see you next time right here on The Youth Perspective with Cashing and Jamal.